And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to the Green Room.
Welcome to the Green Room. This is Kinga, and we are going to have a show all about love tonight.
And I'm Chet. We're wishing all of our listeners a happy Valentine's Day. It's almost that time of the year. So, how are you guys looking to celebrate Valentine's Day?
Well, we're going to be going out for a nice dinner. Actually going to be taking my sister and her husband, who are visiting, out to dinner with us. And we're going to have a really romantic night.
A nice little double date.
If you can have a romantic night. With your sister-in-law.
Well, we need to introduce our guests. This is Carol and Jim Hebbets. And they have been married 39 years, and that's why they are our feature couple for how to stay married for 39 years, almost 40, and have a sustainable love that continues.
Thanks, Kinga. We're happy to be here.
That's so impressive. 39 years. What is your guys' couple of secrets?
Go ahead.
Okay. I say just trying to understand each other and be there for each other whenever we can. I like to send little love notes to him and put him in his underwear and his socks. And
you put it in his underwear?
I do.
That's really true. That's
Are you
really
getting
true.
Some tips here?
Awesome.
Well, that's where you know he's going to find it.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jim, how do you like the tips in your underwear, the little love notes?
You know, if I really look back, the truth is that I was not a really very good husband for a lot of years. And so it took an awful lot for my wife to reinvent how she might think about me. So one of the tips somebody gave her 20 years into our marriage was that if you wrote a lot of really nice, complimentary, encouraging notes, you secretly gave them to the person you were married to, it maybe at some point in time they'd wake up and ascribe to become that person that they're telling you about. So Carol's whole way of dealing with this for me was to give notes of encouragement, notes of support, notes of respect, notes of love, and she'd leave them everywhere. So seriously, they would be in my sock drawer, they'd be in my shoes, they'd be with my razor, they'd be with a hairbrush, they'd be in my car, they'd
so
be with my car keys, they'd be in my wallet.
Was this the first 20 years or the last 20
years? No, the last 20. If the first 20 started sooner, that would have been an easier ride for both of us.
Yeah.
But she really has done that. She's never stopped doing that in our entire marriage, and it's been bordering on miraculous, almost 40 years in, that's still the MO of how our life unfolds. And I would honestly say that if there's a gift any of us can give, it's a gift of forgiveness. Because almost all of us have moments in the life's journey we have with each other in which we stumble, we fall short, we don't do the things perhaps that God would have asked us to do as a husband or a wife. And this gift of forgiveness, where you can allow love to unfold and occur, even when you know that the other person has wounded you, has maybe hurt your feelings or done something else to make life a little bit tough. This ability to create forgiveness without consequence, without the burden of guilt, is astounding what it does to change a relationship.
So do you feel like you've been reciprocating with her notes and little romantic gifts and romantic flowers? Do you reciprocate that?
I would say for sure I've tried my level best to do that.
You have to. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
No, yeah. So for sure. But, you know, again, I think we all learn as husbands and wives that we come into these relationships deeply imperfect. We come in with no idea in God's green earth how to be a good husband or a good wife for most of us. We come in, you know, sort of ill-prepared to understand what happens in a marriage. And that every day you've got to respond in a new and a fresh and a loving way to keep your marriage alive. So for us, the things Carol does reminds me of the man she would wish me to be, and she just gives me the encouragement to try to become that person over time. And what I hope I do for her every day, constantly, is remind her of her best virtues, her greatest values, the things I appreciate the most in her as a human being. And I try hard to reinforce that every day in our marriage.
Wow. So, Jim, you said that you kind of thought you weren't the best husband around year 20 or so. How did you get back on the right page and like what was going amiss in your guys' relationship?
I think a lot of things were wrong. First of all, I think I had a poor value system of what mattered and how you could love a person. And, you know, people talk a lot about that they would wish to have a wife who somehow would be submitted to them and they're in their relationship. But I had to have it pointed out to me by a lot of close friends that scripturally and biblically, it says before that part in the Bible that husbands are called to love their wives unconditionally as Christ so loved the church. And I don't think I'd ever read that sentence very well or certainly did not practice that sentence well. And so it was having friends who cared enough about me to tell the truth, to remind me in the places where I was falling short and failing as a man and as a human being. I had no roadmap to how do you love anybody unconditionally? How do you approach that? How can you do that in a genuine way and hang in with it day over day, year over year? So I had a lot of things I needed to do to make amends for, to correct my conduct, to correct my behavior, to correct my choices, the priorities in my life. But the hardest for any guy, I think, is to learn how to love the woman they're married to unconditionally so they give her the freedom to be her best her. And I think that's not easy for guys. I think we get too wound up in ourselves.
True.
I love hearing the truth and that you brought up that you weren't a great husband for 20 years, the first 20 years. And I think that there's a lot of listeners out there that, you know, are thinking, oh gosh, Valentine's Day is coming up and we're not getting along that good, but they can restore it. And we want you to give us the tools and tips. You know, you had counseling, the church, what are all your tips of if somebody's not getting along?
So the fun part I would tell you is, you know, Carol and I knew that I was broken. You know, the truth is, honest truth. If a marriage fails, most of the time, it is either all or dominantly the husband's fault. Not the wife's, and it's not shared, and it's not 50-50. If we loved
I like this. It's all the
man's
fault.
If we loved our wives, if we knew how to do it unconditionally, there'd never be a reason why there'd be discomfort or a disconnect in a relationship. It's that we don't know how to start that. The response you get back when you attempt to live your life that way. So Carol and I went through counseling. We went to a place here in Phoenix called Psychological Counseling Services, PCS. We went for 50 to 60 hours a week for 5 weeks. I took 5 weeks off work.
Wow.
I will tell you, it was after that she left.
Heavy duty.
And it was after we did that. So we did that for 5 weeks. It was a roaring success. And they were wonderful. They were great. They did a fabulous job. But
After the counseling is when she left.
She left. And she, by the way, my beautiful bride was not coming back. And then there's a whole confluence of things began to occur that only God could bring into play. You know, I had a business partner at the time, a local guy here in town, Jimmy Walker, who pulled his car over on the side of the road and said, "Hey, Jim, your marriage is not going to fail." And we're not. He said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to pray that marriage back. Your marriage is not going to fail. And then he said, "I want you to go meet a guy at a Scottsdale Bible church." And he said, "I want you to meet a guy named John Lang and John Politon, two guys there." And he said, "I want them to talk to you about marriage." And I said, "Not a prayer. First of all, they're my client. And the last thing on earth I want to do is go admit I'm a failure. I hadn't done it well in front of a guy that's my client that doesn't feel good." He said, "I don't care. Get over yourself."
Putting your pride aside, I feel like could be the biggest part of any.
Yeah. So I go meet with them, and the first thing they said is, "It's all your fault." And I go, "Okay, great."
But that's so perfect, because then you just had to look into what you were doing wrong instead of trying to see what she was doing wrong.
Well, he didn't own it right away. He fought him a little bit.
I said, "It's all her fault. You don't understand."
Really?
No, I did. It took me a little while to actually read the scriptures and begin to understand the places I was falling short. But
then he invited me to come back and listen to the classes that he was going to, and that's when we really started pulling it together.
Yeah, it was a great journey.
Yeah.
Great journey. Humbling journey. And everybody on earth who knew Carol and I knew I was the pill, and everybody on earth knew that we were going through this stuff. And frankly, what I really learned is the more you're willing to be transparent and talk about it out loud.
Absolutely.
And have the courage to speak the truth and admit you failed and you fell short, you didn't do what you should do, the more you tell the truth, more other people can honestly connect, because they're going through the same stuff. They're all going through the same challenges in their lives and in their marriages. So when you try to fake it and hide it and pretend it's not there, no one connects with you as being real.
What I love.
And it probably releases all the anxiety and stress that you build up when you're not being totally transparent. So
that's right.
It's a win-win.
Keeping things inside only hurts everybody.
Yeah.
So the unforgiveness was really big on our part. And that was the biggest thing for me, was to get to the point where I could say, okay, I forgive you, and it can move forward, because that was difficult. But once you do it, and once I understood that if I could be forgiven and Jesus could forgive anything and everyone, and Jesus had forgiven him, I thought, how can I say that I can't forgive him? So it was really a big step, but it was really a huge closure for us.
You know, and I would also tell you, it's hard to talk about in some ways, but not so hard in others. When I was a little boy growing up, Carol and I are real involved with a charity here in Arizona called Child Help.
It's Child Help.
The largest and the oldest child abuse charity in the world. But, you know, in our involvement there, one of the things I had to come to terms with, I was one of those kids growing up here in Phoenix, Arizona. So I went to a Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, great experience, great parents. But I had a step-grandfather who, let's just say, did some really wrong, evil sexual misconduct with me when I was 7 and 8, 9 years old. And I didn't know how to process that. I was a little Catholic altar boy serving Mass, and I was believing every day that I was going to hell all the way through grammar school. I thought every day of my life that if I died that day, I was allowing this man to do the things to me he did, to sexually molest me as a little boy. And I didn't tell in church. I didn't tell the priest in confession. I didn't tell anybody. I just secretly hid it away. And truthfully, I blame me. But the consequence of living that way is you put a wall around yourself and you don't let anybody that you deeply love anywhere near you, because you don't trust the people you love. When people violate you that are closest to you, you stop trusting. So I was married to the most unbelievably world-class woman on the planet. And I wouldn't, every time she got close to me in our relationship, I would push her away. I didn't know how to love my wife. And I didn't think I deserved to have a wife like as great as she is. And it took the time of being involved with Child Help to begin to understand what goes on in the minds and the hearts and the souls of people who have come through that, how you forgive yourself, but much more importantly, how you forgive the people who did it.
So question, when you went through your counseling, marriage counseling, is that when this all came, is that mm-hmm. when she found out, or did Carol always know about the sexual abuse?
He had kept it repressed for a long time, and then it just came out when we were going through counseling. And then it was like, well, that was the reason I acted the way I did. That was, it was almost like, give me some leeway here. This is what happened to me as a child, and that's why my behavior is the way it is. And I would say, well, that's fine, but we have to find a way to change that or modify that, because it isn't working. And I think that our relationship just got stronger and stronger and stronger, because once you understand why somebody's acting the way they are, then you understand that the love is there. And I could see who he was inside, and I knew that. And we just fell in love again.
Well, everywhere you guys go, I see you guys holding hands. I know you have these romantic ringtones to each other, and you're always going on dates. So I think you guys are really keeping it alive. So if you can give us some tips on how you can spice it up if somebody's been married 20, 30, 40 years, what are some of those tips?
You know, one of the great things I'd tell you that helped us, when we met with the people from Scottsdale Bible, and here I am, this little Catholic boy going there, and they're telling me, don't talk to me about today whether you're Catholic or Christian or what version you feel you are. Let's just talk Scripture. And let's recognize it's your fault, not your wife's fault. It's all your fault. None of it's her fault. And you better own it. When that all happened, and as I began to have to confront that and think about that on a daily basis, they had us go through a program called the Biblical Portrait of Marriage. I had no idea what that was, but they basically said to us, truthfully, that most people who go through counseling only are taking somebody else's perspective or viewpoint on boundaries, what's appropriate behavior, conduct, what you can or couldn't do, what you should or shouldn't do. And why not instead remember that the great Creator made us? He wrote a roadmap. Mm-hmm. He didn't make us without a manual to know how to conduct our lives. And just like you purchase a car or some other thing in life, there's a manual to know how to repair it. Ours is the Bible. And so that program shocked us. And you're supposed to go for 6 weeks, 2 hours a night. It took us 6 months, 4 hours a night. But those two guys faithfully, by themselves, showed up every Monday night for 6 months, for 4 hours, and took us through that program once, then twice, then 9 times, then 11 times. But over the next maybe 10 years, Carol and I started using that program as facilitators for others. And we probably had several hundred couples that went through the same thing with us. And wow. Half the time we'd show up still squabbling and fighting sometimes and bickering because we hadn't got it right yet. And we're walking into a session where we're supposed to help somebody else understand, gee whiz, this is how you ought to behave. And I'd have to walk in the room and say, I got to confess to you guys. We just had a squabble in the car. Oh, my God. We're supposed to be talking to you guys. We have no idea how to get it right.
So you do still have squabbles?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
does. We just have
does.
Learned to resolve, yeah. Have, you know, constructive resolution, and it works. It works. And we're just, I think one of the biggest tips I can say is to always be looking for the good things instead of looking for the negatives, because there's lots of negatives. We all have our faults. We all have, you know, deficits. But if we're looking for the good things, that's what we're going to see, and that's what we're going to reflect. And if we keep reminding him, like, he's always trying to, he's my biggest fan. He's always reminding me of my good sides. If I'm down on myself, he'll lift me up, and vice versa. We're both there to support each other and lift each other up and be our, you know, be the fans for each other so that we can, you know, keep each other happy and fulfilled.
Right.
Well, I have some friends that that have been asking me that they know about your relationship and how great you guys get along and how you're helping other couples. And they're going through a rough period. And if they are listening right now, because I told them to listen to the show tonight, what could you tell them to do? How could you help them? They've been married a long time, over 25 years, and they're, you know, they love each other, but it's just kind of not working. And they're kind of giving up, but is there hope?
Well, I know one thing that really helped us is we learned to pray together. We each prayed on our own, but we pray together now on a regular basis, and that helps us to bring God into the picture at all times. And once he's involved, you know, it's really hard to get off track. So, praying together, helping each other in that way.
That's a great tip.
And one of the books that really was interesting that was given to me was The Power of the Praying Wife. And it was when we were first getting ourselves back together, I started reading it. And so instead of nagging him to do this or to do that, I would pray about it because, you know, and God would do what I wasn't able to do.
Did he know you were praying about
it?
Well,
no, this is the interesting part, because then about, a month or two later, my same friend gave me the book, The Power of the Praying Husband. And I got the book. I set it down. He picked up the book and started reading it. And he goes, I get it now. I understand what you've been doing, because I now see how I've been changing. And he didn't know why. It was because I wasn't saying do this or do that. He was hearing it from God. He was getting the messages and changing the parts he needs to do, and vice versa. So it was really working for both of us. I think it was really a turning point for us.
Yeah, and I would also add, when we took that program, A Biblical Portrait of Marriage, when we took that, any time that Carol and I got into a moment when some old trigger might emerge or occur, some old remembrance of how I might have fallen short or not done things as well as I could have or should have as a husband, when those things came up and you were trying to figure out what's the answer, literally, instead of calling to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a counselor, or someplace else, or debating with each other endlessly and in a wrong way, we'd listen, go put the tape back on, listen to it again. And it would take us right back to Scripture, right back to how God would cause us to talk about things. And it was everything, whether it was how you dealt with spouses, how you dealt with money, how you dealt with your children, how you dealt with, when I say spouses, I mean your parents. How did you deal? Did you really leave and cleave? To where you're really connected to your spouse? Did you separate yourself so that you have the right hierarchy where God's first, your spouse is next, your children are third, your career is fourth, and way on down the line? Could you do those things, and could you stay doing it? And then great reminders that go back to the first fruits. Go back to what you did when you fell in love and repeat the things that were interesting, exciting, because I'm going to tell you one of the most profound things that ever occurred in our journey, that 20-year point, was all of a sudden recognizing that when you only focused on the best qualities in each other, and Carol started it because she was the one that would write these crazy, goofy notes and stick them in my underwear or someplace, but when you did that, and all you ever pointed out every day were the virtues in somebody, and that's what you focused on, pretty soon the only thing you could remember were the virtues.
That's right.
And all of the other things that would trouble you, bother you, cause you dilemmas, seemed to melt away a little at a time. Occasionally a trigger would happen, right? Like all humans have, and you got to go back and do your work again and get back refocused. But at the end game, when you were blessed to have a concrete way to find where your answers come from, because in my view, they come from God. They don't come from other human beings trying to coach you. No matter how great the counselors and psychologists are, they're giving you their best advice they can, but the guy who created us has the most profound advice of all. And that's where you get it.
So we are about to cut to music, but I have so many more questions. So listeners out there, if you're just listening on Star Worldwide Network, we're also on Facebook, and we would love your comments, questions. If you have a want to call in, our number is 602-393-0113. Robin can't believe I remembered it. And as we transition to hear Undecided Youth and Summer, we are here. We're saving the planet.
One show at a time.
Thank you for chiming in.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
High five.
I'm the only person
She's the only one who got it. Whenever I say saving the planet, we all need to say saving the planet one show at a time.
One show at a time.
See, I'm a real fan of this show.
I know you are.
I know. So or maybe I've just been on it a bunch of times. I don't know.
So Summer is always on spot, and she's always wearing Goodwill.
Yes, I usually am.
But not tonight.
Not tonight, because tonight I put on a little dress. I'm feeling a little cute, you know. Usually I wear upcycled stuff, especially when I come on here, but I do upcycle, usually from Goodwill. I love going to Goodwill.
Well, there are premier sponsors. We have to mention them. And Julie Brassfield's in the house, too. Onyx Spa is a healthy wellness spa that will heal your ailments and make you feel relaxed. Everything's holistic. It's healthy. It's not a typical spa. And she sponsors us, too. And so I'm inviting you all to come to the Onyx Spa.
Looking forward to it.
I'm very excited.
All right. So what are we going to hear?
I'm going to do a cover first.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay.
This is a mix of a old and a new song because I like old stuff, but I also know that I need to cater to people who like new stuff. But, you know, I like both. So I mixed them together with this one song.
I love that.
So should we mic it up my guitar real quick?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. Okay. Just want to make sure you can hear it. All right. So if you hate new music, bear with me. If you like old music, bear with me. And if you don't like old music, then just ignore half of it. So, like, this is something for most people.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, then I can't sweep you off of your feet, yeah. Oh, will your mouth remember the taste of my love? Oh, will your eyes still smile from your cheeks, yeah? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. And baby, my heart still feels hard at 23. I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just a touch on my head. Well, me, I'm falling in love with you every single day, and I just wanna tell you I am. I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling for so long. And if you feel like I feel, baby, come on, no, come on, let's get it on. Oh, baby, let's get it on. Well, people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe it's all part of the plan. Well, me, I'm falling in love with you every single day, and I just wanna tell you I am. That I'm baby now, and take me into your loving arms, and kiss me under the light of a thousand stars, and place your hand on my beating heart, thinking about how maybe we found love right where we are. Baby, we found love.
There you go. Wow. A love song for you guys. There you go.
Just your voice. It's just, you don't even need a guitar.
Thank
it's
you.
So good.
Thank you.
I was telling Karen today, I'm like, you are going to be blown away. She was trying to, I just can't even, do you understand now? Yeah.
Oh,
blown away.
Thank you.
You're so amazing.
Thank you so much.
So how's your week been?
Oh, it's been wonderful.
Anything new?
Well.
In sustainability,
let's see. I picked up some new clothes. I'm going to try to upcycle this week. I got some stuff I want to work on. Because on stage, I like to have something unique. That's why I love going to Goodwill and stuff like that. Because I can find all of these older pieces of clothing that no one was going to use. And then I can make it into something that no one's seen before.
She creates all her outfits wonderful. For the concerts. It's incredible.
Yeah, I make a lot of them. Some of them I don't. I can't take credit for all of them. I'm not going to lie.
It's kind of like how Elvis came out or Liberace. And they have these really ostentatious, really cool. Yeah, it's like that.
Very sequined, very yes. out there.
Fringe, yes. the whole yes. thing.
So. Yeah, I brought my fringe jacket in today because I love that.
Well,
but
we want to hear two more songs from you tonight.
Yes.
And so we will get back to interviewing Jim and Carol. So if
you'll
come back. We
yes,
will.
Oh, I will.
Or you could just sit
back.
There. Just scoot closer.
Want me to hang out?
Yeah,
okay,
hang out.
Cool.
Hang out with Chet.
Okay.
Share the mic with Chet.
All right, here
so,
you go.
So let's do you see. Have any questions for Carol and Jim?
Do I?
You're in a relationship finally?
I am. You know what? It took me 17 years. It took me 17 years, and this is the first one. Oh, I know. I know. But yeah, so it took me a hot minute, but you know what? I'm very happy. He's actually here. He's in the studio. He won't come on. He won't come on
making
air.
Making me nervous now. A whole hot minute, huh? It's all good.
I know. 17 years, my whole life. But, you know, I feel very lucky and very happy. So
she has not had a boyfriend before. This is her first boyfriend, so that's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
At 17.
I was
just
done,
picky.
Huh?
Oh, what a day.
You know, I'm just very lucky. He's just sitting in the back over there.
So we need a few questions that you have for Carol and Jim, and then we're going to get to Julie coming over here on the mic because we want to hear about her long marriage, 30-something years, too.
I don't really have any issues so far. It's been a very short amount of time. It's actually 3 months today. Today is 3 months.
Congratulations,
so it has been
honey.
Very, very short. But I mean, just in general, hearing you guys talking about ways to make it last, you know, and keeping your heads on straight for each other is really, you know, nice and inspiring to hear. So it's definitely been interesting sitting back and listening to it.
So I'm thinking about your boyfriend. Probably you guys have the same experience.
Me too.
I'm sure you are.
Tell me about it.
But you know what? The great joy is that anybody who's ever met my wife knows from the outside how beautiful she is.
Oh, she's so beautiful.
But when you see somebody from the inside, so here's the whole deal, right? The outside, I know I'm married to a spectacular woman. But the inside's why love works. And when it's all said and done, if the outside package wasn't there, it might be a little harder. But since it is there, that part doesn't have to worry about. She's just spectacular inside, honey. And I think what we all discover at some point in time, you're married to who that human being really is. And you're married for the rest of your life to that person. And so they better be the qualities that you aspire to spend your life sharing the journey with when it's all said and done. And for those that are blessed to have that happen, it's extraordinary.
Thank you. That's so cool. I love that.
Well, thank you, Summer.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We're
going
to have Julie come over here.
Yes.
Julie from Onyx.
I will scoot.
Onyx Spa. And what's your next song we're going to be hearing?
An original.
Oh, perfect. An original. Thank you, Summer. So back to Carol and Jim. So for those of us that are single out there, it's Valentine's Day. Do you have any dating tips?
Well, we haven't dated in a long time, but we do go on dates. I think it's really important
for couples. You guys date?
Yeah, I'm saying it's really important for couples, young couples especially, to date, and especially young married couples if they've got children. And if they don't take that time for themselves, it's really, really damaging to the marriage. You know, you think you're there to, you know, to surround your family and be there, but it's important to have that separate time, that private time that you have alone and with each other. We do a lot of getaways. If we can't get away for a long time, both of us love to travel, which is a blessing. You see some couples that one likes to travel and the other doesn't. And we always travel together. It's really special for us to do that. We give each other our own space when we need it. And, you know, he gets in his man cave sometimes and needs to have that, and that's okay.
But would you say you spend more time together?
We do.
Oh,
apart.
By far.
We do. We really enjoy each other. This is... You know, I think after 39 years, I look back and I can't imagine, I almost appreciate the fact that we went through the crisis that we went through in our marriage, because now every dream I could have ever imagined having in a marriage, this would be it. It's just, I can't imagine
Incredible.
It being any better. It's just wonderful.
Sustainable love.
Very sustainable.
By the way, I would add one other thing that I think is a big deal, and that is having something you share a passion with each other about. So our journey with Child Help, with the charity we're both involved with, has been probably some of the greatest glue she and I could have ever had together, because we're both drawn to it. We're both drawn to its purpose and its intention. Each of us put more than 30 hours a week into that charity, and we have for almost 20 years. And so when you have a shared passion, a shared joy, there's always something fresh and exciting to talk about every day and every night. So when we observe other people in restaurants and other locations, when they appear not to even have two words that they know
I've seen that. I think that's
very sad.
Dreadful.
Very sad.
And we're jabbering away. I mean, we're having the time of our life. We have a million things to talk about every day and all the time. And I think keeping it fresh,
It's not boring.
Yeah, part of keeping it fresh is having that shared passion you both love.
So in your relationship, have either one of you ever been like the jealous type?
Probably I would have been for sure. Well, first of all, I'm married to a drop-dead gorgeous girl, so right?
Yes,
so it's
absolutely.
Not easy.
Absolutely.
It's not easy when you're a young guy and you're going, oh my gosh, every guy out there. I would also say that, you know, she was a TV model for a long time. And so there was a whole world chasing my beautiful bride for a long time. But I do tell you that we got at peace about all of that, and it took me, not her, because she never had that character quality. 20 years now, for sure. And absolute joy and peace of being at peace, that there's trust and fidelity, there's love and acceptance with each other. And I think that's been out of our marriage, I would say absolutely completely out of our marriage for at least 20 years. And it changed the nature of our relationship, the friendship that's there, the easygoingness of what's there.
So last question, and then I'm going to send it to Julie and Chet. Do you guys ever go to bed mad at each other and sleep in separate beds, or are you always in the same bed?
I would say almost never go to bed. And Carol's got this mantra that it's unforgivable in our marriage if we do go to bed upset or angry. So I would tell you, for sure, if it's one day a year, 2 days a year, if there's something we're struggling with, we go to bed at night, that's probably the sum total of it.
Because I really believe that if you go to bed angry and you marinate on that overnight, mm-hmm. that's what you're going to wake up with, only it's going to be so much bigger.
Right.
Yeah, and then when you're tossing and turning and you get angry about it.
Angrier. Yeah.
You're stewing, yeah.
Exactly. So.
And what if, God forbid, what if something happened to somebody when they were sleeping?
I know.
You know, that would be, yeah. Very, very
But you know,
tragic.
For us, most of the time, I know this will sound corny.
But not you guys, but somebody else.
You heard Carol say this earlier about praying together. But today, literally in our marriage, there's probably 3 or 4 days a week that we pray together out loud for more than 30 minutes. And so for most couples, they don't pray 30 minutes maybe in a month. We pray together 30 minutes a day, 3 or 4 times a week. And so when we're doing that, we take turns who's leading the prayers. But when then tough stuff happens, there's a moment of hurt or woundedness, that's where we go. We go to prayer, and each of us individually. And we sometimes pray out loud together to get beyond and past it, because sometimes that's the only thing that creates the glue.
So what kind of prayers do you guys do? Like free-flowing, where you just are kind of just talking?
For sure. Yeah,
talking.
Absolutely free-flowing.
Okay,
just
sweet.
Talk to God out loud. Whatever comes. But absolutely a conversation.
Mostly very interesting. Prayers of gratitude And if we have an argument or we have a disagreement and we just can't seem to resolve it, I'll say, okay, would you mind if I bring the Holy Spirit in here so we can resolve things? And
get some wisdom. Yeah.
Yes, and get some wisdom that really matters. So, and it works.
It does work every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Wow, that's a great tip. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah,
so.
It works. Yeah.
Excited to try it out.
So Karen came with some questions, and so she's going to pull up a chair here. And so she has some questions for Jim and Carol.
This is like unfairly stacking the decks, and she's known us for 25 or 30 years.
Yes, we have.
So here we go.
Yes. I didn't know it was possible to love you even more than we already do, but we've been blessed to have met you, early 2000s and known you, a long time. And you guys have been role models for us. So a lot of this conversation has been about the last 20 years. So I'm curious. Your story from when you were dating to getting engaged to getting married. What was that time frame? And also something I'm going to ask you is couples that you see today that are dating, looking to get engaged, what red flags would you see that you sometimes see that come up where you're like, oh my gosh, something needs to be done now, or don't get married? Because I know a lot of people who get engaged, get married, then they're engaged and they think, you know, we've got to go through with this because we're already engaged. So first question is, you're from when you met to getting engaged to getting married, and was there anything during that time period that maybe was a red flag for you, and that you looking back you would say we should have dealt with this then?
I think for sure, Karen. So first of all, we'd each come out of a prior marriage, and I think each of us had to contend with, especially me, how you respond by placing your wife first in your life. And when you have three children, which I did from my first marriage, whom I treasure and adore, but when you have three children and you realize you failed in that marriage, you fell short, and you didn't do the things you could have or should have done to make it a success, and you know those children are wounded and hurting, I think many of us make mistakes about how to place the spouse you're now married to on the throne of your life the way God would ask you to do it, because there's so much guilt you're packing around, so much responsibility. And I think what God demands of us is that even though we have failed, and even though we've fallen short, that I think he wants us to know that if we're sincere and genuine, we can be forgiven, we are forgiven. I don't think we can ever take that lightly or pretendedly, like that's an excuse to not have to do what we're called to do. But I think once you're forgiven, then this guilt we carry around prevents us from behaving properly. So we don't manage our relationship with our children properly. We certainly aren't managing our relationship with spouses. So the red flags for us would have been that I needed a lot more work on the front end of knowing how to place my wife first, and then how to communicate with my children that that didn't mean I didn't love them or care for them, or that I didn't own the mistakes that I'd made or how we got there, so that I could properly contribute to parenting them the right way and then not hiding out from being the parent that I should have been.
And I think to answer your question from my side, I think a red flag that I did see was some fears that he had, and I just kept thinking they would go away, they would go away. A few control issues that were just didn't seem normal, and it was during the, you know, during our engagement. And but I kept thinking, well, that'll go away, it'll be fine. But, you know, the truth is we needed...
Like what kind of fears?
What examples?
Well, the only example I can think of is that my family had come in for our wedding, and family was all coming in from Minnesota, and they wanted to go to Disneyland, and I wanted to go with them, and, oh, no, you can't go, we have too many things to do, and there really wasn't that much to do, and I stayed back, and I should have, you know, that was a red flag for me looking back now, that was, you know, didn't need to be a control issue, didn't need to be, you know, that should have been a free-flowing thing that, yes, you, sure, go have fun. You know?
I honestly think she's even understating it. I think she is. I mean, that's just the truth. Yeah. I think when you come from an experience that as a little kid, I didn't think I understood it at the time. I think I do today. As a child, when you're out of control, my parents used to drop me off at this particular grandparents where all that abuse occurred. And I felt completely out of control in my life. I had no one I could talk to, no one I could speak to. And so I learned that the only way I could navigate life was control all of the circumstances around me, or attempt to control those circumstances. That's a wrong motive, a wrong notion, but Carol's being a little extra polite tonight. I was horrible at that in those days, and I had to learn how to overcome that, how to give away the freedom so that a person can be at peace and be themselves. And she's being kind to me tonight, but I deserve a lot more spanking and consequence for maybe not doing it the right way.
Okay, so that's a great... Okay, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I actually want them to finish your second question first, and then I'll ask the next question, because we should stay on track.
Okay, perfect.
We'll come back to me.
Okay, what was the next question?
As far as advice to whether people are engaged or married and something.
Okay, so I would say, you know, red flags, if you see that you're arguing a lot and you're not having, you know, resolution with it, and you're in a dating relationship and you're really on good behavior, I mean, you aren't even married, you're not, you know, that closure hasn't happened, deal with it and get out there and say, okay, this isn't working for me, let's figure out how we can do this. How do we get resolution from our disagreements? And when we have, you know, a conflict, how do you get that resolved? And try to do it ahead of time before you end up getting married, because that's disaster happening. I've seen it happen. Yeah. One of our daughters it happened with.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
And I'm curious before Chet asks this question, but Jim, something you said with as far as maybe having control, or do you find, and this is something I see, and maybe it's just me, that when a lot of times when people get together, they kind of lose their own identity. And they almost morph into what they think the other person wants them to be. Mm. Might be part of that control or part of that. And I'm asking because a lot of people say, you know, Mark and I got engaged after 5 weeks. We're going on 20 years. And I believe one of the strengths is we've really kept we just respect, trust, love, and maybe to a fault in a way, but we've kept our own. We're together, we've got a great marriage, but we've also kept our own
boundaries of who you are.
Yeah, I think a piece, Karen, is that, yes, what you said is true. People might somehow bottle who they're not really just trying to be what they think the other person wants. But I don't think that's the issue around control. I think control's an illusion. I don't think anybody ever has what it is they're trying to chase. I don't think any of us ever really do ultimately control anybody else when it's all said and done. It's hard enough to behave yourself. And so I think we're chasing a false image. I don't think it's real. I don't think we necessarily understand that when we're doing it. I think you have to live through the mistakes and the failures associated with it. But I think those are two different things, how you might be a chameleon and how you change.
I actually want to, after the song, I want to get back to how you can be controlled, I think, by money. You know, if there's a controlling husband and somehow they make you do things and then they use money as a control, I think it's called the purple purse. And it's quite, look it up. It's actually called the Purple Purse. I can't remember what actress called it that, but she has a campaign against that. So we're going to really quickly cut to Summer and Undecided Youth to hear her song. Yes. Original. What is it called?
I don't know. I'm so bad with naming my songs. I can write a song. I can, you know, I can do all that. I can perform. I can't name my songs. So this is like pretty song number two. That's what we'll call it for now. Who's to say? Who's to say? It's pretty, and it's a love song, because that's what I'm doing today, doing love songs. Who knows why, you know? Could be in the air. Maybe the time. Who knows? But this is it. Oh, just believe.
set this world on fire. Beautiful light, you are shining in the dark, my star.
Wow, you're so incredible. You wrote that?
I did.
Wow.
I started
just,
it like
just in time
a year
for Valentine's
ago.
Day.
It yes, I wrote it probably about a year ago, and then I completely forgot about it, and then I dug it out, and then I rewrote it. So yeah, it's kind of always been in the back of my head, and I finally finished it and got it where I wanted to, and I'm really happy about it. Oh, go for it. Oh, of course you can steal the
So wait, Summer, please tell our listeners where they can find you, because that was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see.
That was beautiful.
I am personally on Instagram. It's Summer_LEIGH_29. It's too complicated. I probably need to change that. But
I think you should. It sounds kind of complicated.
It's kind of complicated. Hey, it's from like eighth grade. That's how it is. Probably been that for like 5 years. But if you want to find my band, which is a little more simple, it's called Undecided Youth, like Confused Kids, Undecided Youth. Yes. You can type it in on basically anything, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. I think we have a Twitter. And you can find our music. Also, it's on Spotify and Apple Music. We have an EP that we just released, self-titled.
Awesome.
Worked very hard on it.
You need to make a title for that song you just sang us, because that was awesome. Like, damn.
I know. You're right. Everybody comment? Maybe everybody can comment, give you ideas.
Yes. No, I'd love that. Comment what you think that song should be called. And shocker, shocker,
right?
The next song I'm going to do is also an original, and I also don't have a name for that song.
And we'd like to just hear your second one now.
Would you love to hear
Absolutely.
It right now?
Okay,
well,
yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Here, let's see. Let's talk for a second, because I think my guitar is a little out of tune. So let's just chat for a little bit. How's everybody doing? How's everybody's Valentine's Day?
I'm hoping that everybody out there is going to have a great Valentine's Day, but I do have a great tip. If you're not in a relationship, treat yourself like you're number one. You should love yourself above anybody else. And if you can go out and treat yourself to a nice dinner, a nice gift.
That's also a really good point, because I feel like I know a lot of people who try to get into relationships before they love themselves. And then you're just kind of like, you're asking too much of that other person. You're asking them to like take care of all those issues you have with yourself. And that's not fair to them. You have to have that like self-respect and self-love in order to like really be there in a relationship.
Well, Chet, you're in a relationship. Are you taking your girl out for Valentine's Day?
Yes, I am. Of course.
What are you guys going to do?
We're going to go out for dinner. What else would we do?
And what are Carol and Jim doing for Valentine's Day?
We're going to Marcelino's with Carol's sister and brother-in-law. So we're going to head out with them. It's going to be a great time.
Hello, they're in the studio. Hi there. And Julie, what are you going to do?
I don't. Usually I make dinner, actually.
I thought you were going to pay for everybody's dinner.
Right. Well, I could do that. I could do that. And one other thing that I just want to mention, I've been married for 33 years, and I got married very young when we were 22, is that humor plays a big part. And I can honestly say my husband's really goofy. Kinga knows him, and he's a really fun guy. And people always say, how could you? But I think if every single day someone just, like, he makes me laugh. I mean, sometimes we still, like, belly laugh because he really just has the best sense of humor. And sometimes you can get through a very difficult situation, or sometimes things get complicated with kids and, you know, you're kind of working your way through some of that. And I can say humor brings a little bit of easiness to sometimes some situations that could kind of be difficult. And not that they're funny, but kind of to lighten the load and get you through it tonight. And for me, at least, you know, for 33 years, he's been making me laugh. And that's like one thing that I just love.
I have a question. When you were married, your younger years, did he was race car driving?
Yes.
Did you also drive cars with him?
No.
Did you get in that race car or no?
I have. Yes, I did. I did get in the car with him.
Were you ever worried about him? How fast was he driving those
cars? Oh, you know, sometimes like over 200 miles, you know, like at Daytona or something. But yeah.
That was his career.
Yeah. But
how did he do?
He did great. He had a very, very good career. But I was his fan, number one. And so I was his fan. And so I wanted him to go fast and be successful and win. But, it's been good. And you just kind of do what you can to kind of get through difficult moments when you need to.
Well, thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
So can we come to your spa, everybody in this room?
Sure.
Treat ourselves to a nice Valentine's
Absolutely.
Day. Are you open on Valentine's Day?
Yeah. Isn't it Thursday?
Yeah. So
yeah. I'm there.
Where's Onyx Spa? Can you tell
me? Well, we are at the northwest corner of Scottsdale and Thunderbird, and actually we ran a little couples ionic foot detox, and so we have some people coming in, and I'm excited for that. So
Great.
It's a fun thing to do with your spouse. Or you know what? If you don't have someone, if you're not in a relationship right now, you can bring a girlfriend. That's still a really fun thing.
In fact, I can bring you Carol, but you guys should go. She has a couple's room, and it's really, she makes it really romantic and fun.
Yeah.
You guys are so funny.
All right, so we're going to cut to Summer's Undecided Youth song. What are we going to sing?
This one doesn't have a name. So yes, comment, yes. Put it in the comments. Tell me what you think should be called.
We're going to title your song tonight?
Sure.
All right.
I got 3 minutes. I got to knock this one.
Is this the one?
Take it away.
Is this one we're titling or the last song?
Both of them. I don't have names for either one.
I love it.
Yep.
Okay. And we're saving the planet.
One show at a time.
All right.
Donate
to Child Help, everyone, if you're out there listening.
Here we go. All right. I'm going to make this fast because we're running out of time.
No one's around to tell me this is a bad idea. So let me be clear. I know. Ooh, it's been a long time coming now. I had to take my shot, had to take my chance, make you happy. I know. You've been around longer than I.
On demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.